This is Out of Bounds right around the southwest at Triple M. Daniel Leach and Alan Crane with The Doors Light My Fire from their debut album, because that's what we're doing today with School of Rock debut albums. Anyway, another one coming up in just a tick. Now, it is time for a big segment of ours. It is Legends of the Southwest. This is where Alan Crane pretty much just goes to his mates and just says, hey, you know, want to have a chat on the radio. But you've done very well with some good little legends in the last couple of weeks.
I am very pleased with myself this week,
you
Daniel Leach. I think
too.
I've absolutely excelled myself.
Do you want to do the introduction?
Can I just run through a little bit
please.
Here? This gentleman was recruited by, if I got this wrong, I apologise.
Oh, this will be good.
Recruited by Swan Districts at the start of the 1987 season.
Right, so you're reading his Wikipedia profile. This is good.
Debuted round one, which is a very good effort.
Yeah.
Swan District's Fairest and Best in 1988 and 1990. Won the Sandrover Medal in 1990 and was in the Premiership in 1990. And he's a Southwest legend.
Yes.
And we talk only of Mick Grasso. Welcome, Mick.
Yeah, good afternoon, Alan. How are you?
I hope I got all that right, did I cover?
It sounds pretty good. I'll take it.
Yeah. I will say, I have pulled up your Wikipedia page, because do you know you have a Wikipedia page?
Yes. My nephew informed me that a few years ago.
Okay. Because I reading along with Craney, I'm like, okay, this is all his Wikipedia page. Have you ever checked it before and gone, oh, that's not right, or tried to change it yourself?
Yeah, and I've seen it on there. You wonder how these things sort of pop up. But I remember my nephew telling me a few years ago that was sort of on there. But no, it looked like it was pretty spot on, really. Yeah, but wherever the information's coming from, they've obviously got the right info, which is good. So.
Well, for the next 10 minutes, you're allowed to embellish any story you like.
Now that's all right. Mick, how many games did you play at South Bunbury before Swans come knocking on the door to say, we want you down at in Perth?
I played about 3 seasons at South. So it was about 60-odd league games, playing at South Bunbury. And that was back in 83, 84, 85 seasons. It was a good grounding. It was a great ground to have 60-odd league games, you know. And I was obviously started when I was fairly young, playing the league at 16, so to have those 60 games under my belt, then obviously going up to Perth to have a crack at the Waffle, it was a good grounding for me, because playing against men at a young age, so I was ready for it when I moved up to Perth. So I wasn't as daunted as a young kid going up at 17 years old and just coming straight from the Colts and trying to crack the league side. But so having those 60-odd games played for South, fortunate enough in those 3 seasons, I played in the 2 premiership side at South, and I was very well coached under Jerry McNeil, we were a very strong side back in those days, and I had plenty of fantastic footballers around me that I learned from and helped me sort of go to that next level.
And what was it like when you arrived at Swan Districts there, whole new level of professionalism?
Yeah, it certainly was. Yeah, no, it was a big step. Sort of, growing up in Bunbury and playing on I played all my junior footies at Maris Junior Footy Club, and obviously was attracted by South Bunbury back in the day to play Colts in 1982, and played a few Colts games at the end of that season, and played sort of Colts 1983. I made the league debut in 83 at South and played a couple of games and went back to Colts for the rest of the year. And 84, 85, sort of a couple of strong years there. But I had a good grounding for it. But it was really exciting just sort of going up to the, back in the 80s, mid 80s there, going up to the playing Waffle at Baffindean, a fantastic club, fantastic supporters and whatnot. And just the players made you welcome and stuff like that. So John Todd was the coach who sort of came down and sort of poached us, me and Peter Owen at the time. And so we travelled up together, which made life a lot more comfortable too, having Oldie there, who was a seasoned campaigner at the time. So because Oldie was about 27, 28 at that time. So he was a sort of mature recruit. But it was good for me because he had the knowledge and the know-how of stuff like that. So I just sort of tagged along with him. But we had to step up a gear because we knew the pre-seasons were going to get a bit tougher and stuff like that. The training just sort of you know, to be able to cope and be able to crack it sort of time at that time, you know what I mean? So Ollie was a big influence for me at that time too. So
hey, you talked about John Todd just a short time ago. I feel like he'd be somewhat intimidating of a man. What was he like as a coach?
Yeah, a lot of people say that. I think it's what I learned. Well, if you got on the wrong side of Toddy, you sort of was hard to get back on the other side.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, he's a fantastic coach. Like he was the knowledge of the game for him, and the sort of his tactics and stuff like that was second to none. His record shows that. You know what I mean? But I got on pretty well with Toddy, sort of type thing. So as you say, I think if you seem to be doing the right thing and you're trying your best, I think that's okay. You know what I mean? So I think he sort of got on top of plays that were sort of, he knew the guys had ability but just weren't able to sort of commit themselves, or not train hard enough, or didn't put in at the game time or on the training track sort of type thing. So, and once he sort of got picked on you, sort of he kept going at you all the time. You know what I mean? So, I got my share, a few blasts after the games, stuff like that too. Everyone who's played under John Todd would have copped some spray of some kind. You know what I mean? So, but I think he just sort of put your back on the straight and narrow and stuff like that, and you sort of, he was a bit daunting and stuff like that. So you're sort of, back in those days, you were sort of a bit afraid to sort of get out of line, So I made sure that I sort of tried to do the right thing and play the best that I could to my ability. I think we have a pretty good relationship now. And even still, when I see him now these days, he's pretty friendly. He's mellowed a lot these days, and he's pretty friendly and whatnot, which is fantastic. So
now 1990, fantastic year.
Yes.
You're putting your suit on off to the Sand Rover medal dinner.
Yeah.
What do you think your chances were?
I was fairly, I had a decent year sort of type thing. We sort of, the club, as Swans in 99, we had a good season, obviously, because we ended up winning the premiership that year. So, but it was sort of, it was one of those seasons where we sort of fluctuated a bit. We started well, then two-thirds of the season, into the season, we sort of got a few injuries and our form lapsed a bit, and we sort of going from making the top two back then, we sort of just scraped into the final sort of type thing, and then the last game of the year, sort of we were lucky enough to get a double chance and play in the second semi, stuff like that. But yeah, I was pretty happy with my year, obviously. I played most of the season out of the half-back flank, occasional run on the boards of the forward line trying to sneak a goal as I like to do, but so I was given a bit of a free rein on the half back to run off and create as much as possible. So I think that was, but obviously the first thing in mind was to stop my opponent not getting the footy or kicking any goals, but to run off and create as much as possible. So Toddy was good for that. So he sort of wanted me to make sure that I had plenty of run and stuff like that. So when you run and carry the footy, you sort of give yourself a chance, you know what I mean? So, I had good teammates around me and stuff like that, and we had a good midfield, and good experienced players, Phil Narkles and Donnie Holmes and Don Lansford and Brad Shine and Peter Hoddle.
Geez, some good names there, isn't there?
Yeah, it's been some good names there. So, to work off those guys, you don't think at the time going into the night you're going to win it sort of type thing. I think you're pretty happy just to get invited, to be honest, because the Waffle puts on a nice show for you, and you get a free dinner and free drinks and stuff like that. But we weren't too many drinks, and we were playing in the second semi.
True.
The following Saturday. But it was a fantastic night. It was just wonderful to share it with your teammates, and it was everything sort of goes back to your junior days and your local club down here, and you think about your family and friends and stuff like that, and just the people that support you to get to that stage, But just a bit of luck and good fortune. But obviously, you train hard, you put the effort in, so whatever comes your way, you're grateful for it.
Now, the 1990 Premiership, the game's won and done, you've won. Who was best on ground in the celebrations afterwards?
Oh, come on, surely Mick was.
No, I wasn't. Yeah, I was okay. I was took a back seat in the celebration. Oh. I think we're all yeah. And it was a pretty long. I remember being a long week. I know that much. But I think Peter Hoddle gave it a good crack. He actually got concussed in the grand final, and he couldn't remember much of the actual game.
So he wanted to make up for it.
Yeah, so but when he woke up the next day, he was feeling fine.
I bet he was.
and he, Hose was pretty good. We had a few good players that would have been running for best on ground. Danny Penny was a good man to celebrate with. We all shared a sort of fairly strong week. It was a fairly tough week. By the end of it, I couldn't get quick enough to get back to Bombay to have a bit of a rest.
Hey, just a quick one to finish on. To be able to go back after that, and obviously, you played a little bit more country football, and then obviously you've done some coaching as well, and being involved at country level. What's it like giving back at that country level? Because we know that clubs can struggle a lot, trying to get numbers in terms of helpers, in terms of people being able to coach and things like that. What's it like to be able to go back and give back?
Yeah, obviously, when I finished my days up in the Waffle at Swans, I came back to South Bunbury, the club that my club sort of type thing. So and I was quite excited to come back actually. And 93, I think it was, and Ray Rendell was coach, and I was just wanted to come back and play. It wasn't about going chasing any dollars or stuff like that. So I just wanted to come back to the club and help them have a bit more success. And we won the premiership in 93, which was fantastic. And it was just it was nice to come back and sort of being, obviously, was a senior player at that time. So I was helping out quite a lot of young guys that were coming through the system at the time. And we had some really good young players. I remember Joel Cornelius playing in our premiership side in 93. And he went on and played 200 league games. He was a really good footballer, you know what I mean? And we had some good young footballers at the time. And so it was just, I played at Souths another 4 years or so, and I wasn't a captain or anything like that, but I was a senior player, and I was expected to sort of help out wherever I could and assisted the coaches and whatever and stuff like that. So, then obviously I took a bit of a break from the game and then got back involved in assistant coaching, back with Mark Bayless, who was the coach at the time, so assistant coach in there. Then I had a couple of years coaching myself. And Alan was helping me out at the time too, which was fantastic. So yeah, I've given a bit back, you know what I mean? I have done sort of a number of juniors, helping out the juniors and stuff like that too, you know what I mean? So, and I also had a year at Eaton Boomers, which I shouldn't forget. So they won their first premiership. So I really enjoyed that role. So I've been assistant coach and helping out. And I did a lot of helping out the young kids there too. So. It is good to give it back, and it is great to sort of see young kids coming through the system and to know that you've sort of maybe helped in a little way, or even just having a chat to them, or if you teach them how to kick a footy or handball footy, it doesn't really matter, but if you just someone to talk to and give them a bit of a guidance and stuff like that. So, and that's sometimes all the young kid needs these days, you know what I mean? So, because it's pretty tough out there at the moment. So.
Yeah. Always important to remember where you came from, always important to give back, as we know in country footy. It's great that you're able to do that. Hey, Mick, thank you for joining us over the last 15 minutes or so, taking a little trip down memory lane, as always. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, and look forward to seeing you out there at the footy again at some time.
Yes, no, thank you very much, guys. Thanks, Daniel. Thanks, Alan. I appreciate you having me on today.